All right. It is Friday. That means our visit with our philosopher of baseball, boy, September 1st, is coming up very quickly. And we're making it through a season. What a marathon this thing is.
Yeah, it gets long for sure. But we know what we signed up for.
Yeah. You know, I was just asking Joe Panik about it. You know, the mental side of baseball, and you and I have been doing this since the beginning of the season, there is such a mental side of the game. Do you talk to yourself to get ready for the, you know, as each month goes by? How do you deal with it?
Yeah, for sure. There's definitely different phases of the season. You know, now it's, you know, it's full speed ahead. We got 30-some games left. We're not mathematically eliminated yet, so we got to try to go out there and get as many in a row as we can and try to sneak our way back into this thing.
A lot of players coming up from Sacramento this year, and you've been around from different teams. I never asked you about your getting up to the big leagues the first time. I was just talking to Chris Shaw about it and Duggar about it and all those guys. What about you? How did all that happen?
I was actually in Sacramento when I got called up. We were playing the River Cats, it was July 4th was my debut in Arizona. Michael Barrett was catching for the Padres. He got hit by a pitch and went on the DL, and I got called up. I debuted July 4th, 2008 in Arizona, and it was unbelievable. Just one of those feelings that you it's hard to recreate. You know, one of those. I was actually, I was really, really nervous in the bullpen catching for the game, and then a guy from just got back from Iraq. He had both of his legs blown off by an IED in Iraq, and he was in a wheelchair, wheeled himself out to the mound and threw a strike to home plate. And I was like, man, that's some perspective right there.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be all right. So that calmed me down. Man, it was unbelievable how much the crowd went nuts for this this veteran, and it was just awesome to see his courage to go out there and after battling for our country, for us to be able to play baseball, because he goes out there and tries to keep our country safe. It put everything in perspective for me, for sure.
Wow, what a memorable day for Nick Hundley, a debut. Well, how did the baseball part go for you?
Man, it was good. We beat Dan Heron, started. We beat him. I got a hit, walked, tried to get all that first hit out of the way. Our pitcher, Chow Sung Beck, had a no-hitter into the seventh. So it was wild. It was a fun day.
You know, no Padres ever pitched a no-hitter.
Yeah, definitely. We hear that all the time. When I play for the Padres, like, when are you guys going to call a no-hitter? I go, well, I promise you, every day we're trying.
Now, a lot of times, I mean, Chris Shaw is up, a lot of times the manager will pull tricks on the guy being called up. And, of course, he told me he was on the bus going to Las Vegas. All his stuff was on the bus, and they said, well, you're not going to Las Vegas. You're going to San Francisco. His stuff went to Las Vegas. He came here. But any tricks that you hear of over the years that people, you know, tell you about?
You know, I heard, I think it was with the Cardinals, the AAA manager for the Cardinals this year. I heard about this. It was awesome. He went to take a pitcher out of the game. And brought a big league ball and told him to give him the minor league ball and said, you're not using this one anymore, you're using this one. And gave him a big league ball on the mound, and that's how he found out he was getting called up. I thought that was incredible.
Oh, come on.
I thought that was amazing. So, yeah, I mean, those guys, it's such a special moment to, when you put a little more effort into it. It's really cool. But whatever way you get called up, it doesn't matter, because you're going to the big leagues.
Yeah, that's a great story. Nick Hundley with us. That's a very good story. I like that. That's a very good way to do it. And it's memorable. Now, for you, did they do anything whatsoever, or just tell you you're going?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, Kevin Towers was the GM at the time, and he was in town watching the AAA team play. And he called me into the office with our AAA manager and said I was going up. And I went outside and called my parents. I hung up on them because I couldn't talk. You know, I was kind of emotional. And and then finally called them back and spit it out. And they met me in Arizona the next day. And I called my girlfriend, who's my wife now. And she came out to Arizona, too. And an awesome couple days.
Yeah, it's a nice part of baseball, isn't it? That first moment of coming up to the big leagues. What happened in your first at bat?
I struck out. I don't think I saw a pitch. I swung at all of them, and I struck out. But next one settled in, and you know, fortunately got a base hit, and But it's always good to get that first one out of the way. But I can tell you for a fact, I don't remember seeing any of those first balls. I think it was way too jacked up.
First home run, do you remember that?
Yeah, it was in Pittsburgh. An 0-2 slider against Frank Helas Osorio from Pittsburgh, one of their relievers, and I hit it to left for a homer. So, yeah, I remember that for sure.
All right. No, it's good. These are wonderful moments. It's part of playing baseball that you have for the rest of your life, and I'm glad that we could share it and talk about Chris Shaw coming up and everything else. This week, I love great plays in baseball, and you made one this week. You know, you and I have talked about a lot of things you've done on the baseball field. You've been in a lot of action this year, you know that? There's been a lot of action with you on the baseball field, and most of it good. But you made a play this week on a throw and a tag at the plate that I thought maybe was the best play I've ever seen you make.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Starting off with Duggar cutting that ball off, I think Sammy threw a good pitch, a good changeup to David Peralta, who's on fire. Not a lot of guys hit that pitch, and he hammered it in the gap, and Dougie made an unbelievable play to cut it off and get it to Craw. You know, with Ahmed running, he's kind of I think his speed's underrated. He runs really good. You know, he's trying to score from first. Craw as one of the best infield arms in the game and let it loose. And after that, you just kind of try to go make a play.
Well, he let it loose like 4 feet over your head.
Yeah, they're giving me like 12-inch vert, but I'm thinking more like 40-inch vert. You know, they're trying to mess with me, but I think it was up there. You know, I think I would have dunked for sure on that one.
No, there's no question, and it's a one-handed catch too. This is not a two-hander.
Yeah, so thankfully, you know, as a catcher, like I kind of feel like you're an extension of the infield, and so I've always tried to play the position one-handed, you know, just like an infielder will play. So that's kind of my goal is to try to be an infielder behind the plate. And, you know, thankfully the throw was in time where I could get up and land without getting undercut. So it was nice to know that I had enough time to get up and get out of the way.
Now, did you know you had, and fans, if you haven't seen this play, Google it or check it out on MLB. It really is a sensational play going up there, like he says, maybe 40 inches to catch the ball. But did you know you had him when you put the glove down?
Yeah. You know, I saw him, I think he ran through a stop sign at third. I kind of had it in my peripheral vision. I see, you know, you can see him coming. It's nice when the throws from pretty much straight right field over, you can always see the runner out of your vision. It's tough when the throw's coming from the right field line because you have to feel the runner because you can't see him. So, but if they're in your line of sight, you can gauge it really easily and know if you got to make a bang bang play or you can take your time and a play like that in tie game in the eighth, if it's going to be bang bang, you're do or die. So you're gonna you might not catch it, but you're going to try to make the tag as quick as you can. And if you don't catch the ball, you know, no big deal because it's, you know, the run is that's the winning run in the eighth.
Yeah.
You know, so your sole goal is to get it and get a tag on as quick as you can. So thankfully there was plenty of time to catch it and put on a tag.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you, Nick, that was a big league play in my opinion. That was really one of the best plays of the year. They did a survey on the most impactful double plays. Maybe the most athletic double plays, or the double plays that mean something. And you know what they picked first? The 1-2-3.
Yeah, yeah, the bases loaded pitcher to the
catcher.
Man, I'll take a double play anytime. But, yeah, especially if you have a bases loaded and get the force out at home, save those runs is huge. So anytime you can save runs out there and whether it gets you out of the inning or gets you two outs, the 1-2-3 double play is really important for sure.
Well, we have a lot of people that listen to the show and the baseball side of it. Number one, the runner can take you out at the plate. You've got to be careful with the runner coming in, don't you?
Yeah, for sure. I learned that in the minor leagues. I got hit real good in my first season in the minors in Eugene, Oregon. A guy came through and got me pretty good. Sliding, got my back foot, spun me around. I threw it in the outfield. So the biggest thing is just clear your feet.
Okay.
And know that whether that guy's going on contact or not is really important. That'll give you how much time you have. And then going from there, yeah, just try to protect yourself as much as you can. And like I think you saw it earlier in the year with Anthony Rizzo hammered the catch from Pittsburgh. Diaz slid up the line and clipped him. He threw the ball into the outfield. So yeah, you definitely got to be aware of who's running and where they're at.
Yeah, and the other part of the play is interesting, the throw to first, because you got the runner who's always on that edge of the that line over there, and you got to throw it over him to the first baseman.
Yeah, thankfully they do a good job of umpiring, of saying if the runner's inside the baseline,
yeah,
of giving you the out no matter what, because that is, if he's running inside the baseline, you have no lane to throw, and if you throw it in line, you're going to hit the runner. So
yeah.
To move it around the runner, if they're on the inside, that's a well policed rule for sure.
Yeah, but don't you have to step out? I always see the catcher step out and give himself a better angle to first base.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the reasons. But it's also you step out to give yourself a room to not get slid into too.
Right.
So
right.
It's a double edged sword on that, and to try to get out of the way as well. So
boy, you're almost the professor here. You know, you're almost Ron Wotus. That's good, but it's good baseball. It is. It's good baseball. We did the podcast this week, and we asked one of the questions. One of the manager of the Mariners got a haircut like Edwin Diaz, which looks like some triangle on top of his head because he got 50 saves. Would you ever do something like that?
Actually, it's funny. We were talking. I was talking to Chase Darnot. I think we were in maybe Cincinnati, and we're talking about if we go deep to take the lead, somebody hits a homer to take the lead or to win the game in the eighth or ninth inning, I'd get a haircut like his. So, yeah, I mean, we joke around with that stuff all the time and try to find a way to root guys on and mess around for sure.
Yeah, I think it's bonding, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. I mean, the season's too long not to enjoy it and have little competitions with your teammates and hang out and have a good time.
All right, well, another thought for you on our podcast. I like that. We should get you on the podcast one of these times. They're good questions because I like to hear your personal opinions of it. Mack Williamson's girlfriend wrote a blog about his symptoms of the concussion. And, of course, we hear, well, you got a concussion, you're on the DL for 7 days. But the things that go on, and, you know, the nausea, the dark room and not sleeping and all that, what do you think about the families sort of being a little more involved in letting the world know what a player goes through, even being traded, just the ups and downs of injuries and the family kind of talking about it?
Yeah, I mean, your family's living it just like you are, you know, they're in it together with you. So, I mean, in this day and age when there's so much information out there through social media and the internet, you know, I don't see any problem with it. You know, obviously, hopefully Matt gets healthy and gets better because he was, not only for his baseball career, but also for quality of life, you know. You see those concussion stuffs with guys in the NFL, and that's nothing to play around with.
Yeah. Have you had one?
I've been on the DL with a concussion, yeah, but thankfully the symptoms were cleared up quick and we're ready to go. I'm sure playing football you get some too, but, it is what it is. But thankfully now they have a lot better protocol than they did when I was younger.
What do you think when a ball's hit 420 in this ballpark and when you got to hit it 422 to get it out?
I think I'd try to hit it a different direction.
Right.
Unfortunately, you don't have complete control over that. You know, but if you let it affect you, it'll wear you down. You know, everybody knows. All right, is it disappointing? For sure. But that's why you got to be a little bit mentally tougher here to hit here than anywhere else I've ever been. So this is by far the worst place to hit in the league. But at the same time, it's a great place to win and to play.
Yeah. Well, you become a veteran. You're a veteran baseball player. You know that.
Oh, man.
You're a veteran.
I try to sneak a couple more in there with you, Marty.
Yeah. No, you're a veteran. I like talking with you about this, Nick. Always thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, buddy. Anytime, Marty.
All right. More coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Thanks, buddy.
Very good.